Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you have missed us over the weekend, then you should have just come to one of our services at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. We're studying the Bible there. But now to be a student in this school, just pull up a chair and turn up your radio and get your Bible. And you may want a notepad to make notes and follow along. And this being a Monday morning, we're going to use this time for our special feature in this radio broadcast and read from the Rock Cliff Review. This is the bulletin that is handed out to all who come to the services at Rock Cliff on Sunday morning. And these usually contain a supplement or a summary of the sermon that I preached that morning. And this particular morning for this bulletin, I was preaching from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13, through 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. And the title of the sermon and of the article is Living in the Light of the Lord's Return. Let me read that text. First, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11 through 18, it says that you studied to be quiet and do your own business, and work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may lack nothing. But then beginning in verse 13, and that's where I intended to begin. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now the sermon itself concentrates on the following words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. But of these times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtaining salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, Paul wrote of the Lord's return. This is where Paul assures us that the dead shall rise and we'll be caught up with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're taught to comfort one another with these words. Paul continues to write of the Lord's return in the next chapter and in the next paragraph, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-11. He gave us light through four facts, and he taught us how to live through four admonitions. Fact 1. The Lord will definitely return. From the previous teaching, they knew perfectly that the Lord would come, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2. Having this knowledge, they were the children of light and the children of the day, and not of the night nor of the darkness, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. Fact 2. We do not know when he will come. We know not the times or the seasons, 1 Thessalonians 5:1. He will come unannounced, as a thief in the night, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. He will come suddenly, as travail upon a woman, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Fact 3. He will come for judgment. The coming as a thief shall be as travail, or enough to make his coming sound ominous. He will come with destruction for them who say peace and safety, and they shall not escape, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. It will be a day of our Lord's wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. But fact 4, we shall be saved. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we be awake or asleep, we should live together with him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 through 10. Knowing this, Paul gives us 4 admonitions regarding how we should live. Admonition 1, we're to stay awake. Knowing that the thief will come in the night, we're to watch, 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Lest the day of the Lord should overtake you as a thief, 1 Thessalonians 5:2 and 4. This watchfulness is contrasted with sleep, 1 Thessalonians 5:6 and 7. Those who are asleep are not paying attention, and they're not mindful of what is occurring unto them until it is too late. The awake are alert, mindful, and ready. Admonition 2, we're to stay sober. Twice we're admonished to be sober, in 1 Thessalonians 5:6 and in verse 8. This sobriety is contrasted with drunkenness in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7. Drunkenness is not a state to be desired. The drunken are careless, stupefied, and unrestrained. The sober are calm, collected, and circumspect. Admonition 3. We are to stay ready. Part of staying ready is staying properly dressed. We're to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. This is the spiritual armor that protects our spiritual hearts and our spiritual minds, our thoughts and feelings. The saints in Thessalonica were characterized by their faith and love and hope, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. And admonition 4, we are to encourage and edify one another, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. In the margin of the King James Version, we see that the word comfort could be translated exhort. This is the word used by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:18 when he said, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." It carries the idea of standing at each other's side. It is one of the reasons that we are to assemble, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. These words remind me of the words of Peter in 1 Peter 3:10 through 4. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening into the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Well, if you had come to the Church of Christ at Rockcliff at that time, that is the gist of the sermon you would have heard. I read from the Rockcliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we're going to turn back to our regular lesson. And in studying this lesson, I want to go back and read something because I was cut off right at the last as I was reading last Friday, this quote from Adam Clark. And it has to do with the commentary that he wrote on the book of Amos, and Amos chapter 6, particularly where it said they invented themselves instruments of music like David. And Adam Clark, the Methodist commentator, takes the position that instruments should not be used now in the worship of the Lord in his church. And then he brings John Wesley into saying the same thing. Listen to what Adam wrote in his famous commentary. Adam Clark says, "I'm an old man and an old minister, and I here declare that I never knew the instruments productive of any good in the worship of God, and I have reason to believe that they were productive of much evil. Music is a science I esteem and admire, but instruments of music in the house of God I abominate and abhor. This is the abuse of music, and here I register my protest against all such corruptions in the worship of the author of Christianity, the late, venerable, and most eminent John Wesley, who was a lover of music and an eloquent poet. When asked his opinion of instruments of music introduced into the chapels of the Methodist, said, in his terse and powerful manner, 'I have no objection to instruments of music in our chapels, provided they are neither heard nor seen.' I say the same, though I think the expense of a purchase had better been spared." Now with that, I want to turn to the book of Hosea. As we looked at Amos chapter 6, 1 through 6, we're going to look verse by verse at Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. They were prophesying about the same time, and Israel was in their prosperity, paying little heed to the danger that was to become upon them because of their spiritual wickedness. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1, we read, "Come, and let us return unto Jehovah, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up." This verse is an exhortation to the people to repent and return to Jehovah. Chapter 4 and others state the fearful wickedness of this kingdom as well as that of Judah. But upon their repentance and return to Jehovah, he would forgive and otherwise bless them. God had torn and smitten them, but he would heal and bind them up upon their return to him. Chapter 5 of Hosea not only states the great sins and apostasy of Israel and God's severe rebuke and chastisement through other nations, but also that those who had bruised and torn them could not bind up and heal. Israel sent to Syria, but it was not able to heal or cure their wounds. He could only tear and plunder and destroy. But God, who had overruled their enemies to wound and tear them, to chastise them, he could heal and bind up and heal when they should earnestly seek after him. In chapter 11, Israel is told that Assyria cannot save them. We should read this chapter and note the beautiful expressions of God's wonderful promises. We may do that at the beginning of the next program. But now let me read Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2. "Pass ye to Calneth and see, and go from thence to Hamath and the great, and go down the Gath of the Philistines." Excuse me, that's Amos 6 and verse 2. I'm going to read Hosea 6 and verse 2, where he said, "After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him." I'm going to have to save the comments from that verse on Elam's notes until our next class, but you make sure to tune in. Mark your Bibles, Hosea chapter 6, and come visit us, if you can, at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe.